It is especially significant that Lord Shiva is a pure devotee of Lord Vasudeva. Vaishnavanam yadarsanam guru, amongst all Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the topmost. Consequently, Lord Shiva had sampradaya, a Vaishnava succession of Rudra sampradaya. At the present moment, those who belong to the Vishnu Swami sampradaya before Vaishnavas come from Rudra. Lord Shiva. To become a devotee of Krishna Vasudeva is very, very difficult. The word especially used in this connection is Dularashram. The worship of the demigods is not very difficult, but becoming a devotee of Vasudeva Krishna is not so easy. However, if one adheres to the principles and follows in the footsteps of the high authorities, as advised by Lord Shiva, one can easily become a devotee of Vasudeva. This is also confirmed by Prahladmar. Devotional service cannot be practiced by an animal speculator. Devotional service is a special attainment which can be acquired only by a person who has surrendered unto a pure devotee. As confirmed by Prahladmar, Vanya Sambhara Jogishekam Nishin Chanam Navinitaya. Unless one accepts the das of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, who is free from all material contamination of enter into the devotional service of the Lord. Ya imam sadaya yukto makkitam bhagavastavam adhiyanam prarathyam harim parambadhyaya. So, although rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worshipping Him are very difficult, to keep on the grace or simply read this sutra prayer composed and sung by me, he will very easily be able to involve the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a special blessing given by Lord Shiva. He's blessing everyone who is reading this sutra, this prayer, that even though it is very difficult to surrender unto Krishna, but by the mercy of Lord Shiva, it can become very easy. Actually, we're all depending on the mercy of Lordship. Lordship is very important to understand in this world, because Lordship is in charge of health, which can...
Fall sicker,
yes. And so, we can only get rid of fall sicker by the mercy of Lord Shiva, because he is in charge of it. How many of you would like to get rid of Lord Shiva? So that's why we need mercy of Lord Shiva. And how can we get his mercy? There are so many people who are worshipping Lord Shiva. But what do they want from me? Darshan, in my book with the devotees, and he was sitting in the veranda. And anyone who's been to my book knows that he's very famous for plenty of mosquitoes. How many of you have been to my book? So Prabhupada was sitting and answering the devotees' questions, and one devotee asked, "So Prabhupada, is it true that those who are closest to you, they are getting most of your mercy?" And at that time, mosquito landed on Prabhupada's hand. Prabhupada looked at the mosquito and he said, "At the moment, this guy is the closest to me. But I will not give him my mercy." He says, "Let's keep it away." So that was, and Prabhupada was so expert about this, using the circumstances for preaching, connecting everything with the essence of Krishna consciousness. And so he explained by this, it's not about being close or poor, it's about motivation. And so if someone is materially motivated, like the mosquito, right? What was mosquito's motivation? Was he trying to get the mercy of pure devotee to become Krishna conscious? No, he just wanted to suck blood. Right? So Prabhupada's blood. And so unfortunately his world is full of blood suckers. Those who want to come to the exalted personality for material benefits. And so there are many of such devotees of Gurusura. But there are very, very few who understand what is the real benefit of Gurusura indeed. This is what this particular chapter is explaining, that the greatest benefit Lord Shiva can give is to share his Krishna consciousness with us. And this is what he's doing to Prachetas, and luckily it has been recorded and we can also benefit from that. So this is how we can get the mercy of Lord Shiva, by chanting this sutra and by meditating what Lord Shiva is explaining. Because without the mercy of Lord Shiva, no one can get free of false ego, and without becoming free from false ego, no one can enter into the kingdom of God. So, we understand there is material world and there is a spiritual world. And there is an area in between the two, which is called Brahma Jyoti. Brahma Jyoti is like a neutral territory. Normally, it's a standard that between the two countries, where the border is, there is a neutral territory. And it doesn't even matter whether it is land or water. There are also in the sea or ocean, there are neutral waters which belong to both countries but do not really belong to either. So at least they left something for God, right? They haven't divided everything between themselves. They recognize that at least a few streaks of land or water still belong to God. That was the thing. Actually, ideally, no one should claim any proprietorship over anything, right? Isha Vasimadam Sarvam. They should recognize that everything goes property. And so, yeah, Ramajyoti is such a neutral territory between material and spiritual worlds. And who is the master of that neutral territory? Who is the bodyguard? I mean, not the bodyguard, God, who is the Lord of everything. Lord Shiva, yes, he's governing. And Kailash, this is where Kailash is located, in Brahmajyoti. And so Lord Shiva is there. So basically, speaking, he is immigration officer. So if you want to go to the spiritual world, you have to get his approval stamp. Then you can go. Otherwise not. Otherwise you have to stay. So Dilma's one is describing very interesting case in his Sandarvas, that there are some living entities who by their austerity and knowledge and renunciation actually attain certain level of spiritual perfection and became liberated, and they achieve Brahmajyoti. And it's very interesting that in Brahmajyoti there is also an area which is closer to the material world, but there is an area which is very close to the spiritual world. And actually those viewers who are situated in Brahmajyoti, very close to the spiritual world, they can actually see the Lord and his pastimes. And naturally they become very attracted. But unfortunately, because their consciousness is still not pure, as Bhagavan describes, even though they are liberated, but still, an impurity is there. And what is the impurity? It is desire to become one with Krishna. And so they meditate, so om, so om, so om, I am him, I am him, I am him, right? And so then they go to the spiritual world. And Lord Shiva is there with his friends. And when they try to illegally enter into the spiritual world, he takes his trident and then he strikes them with his trident. And his blow is so mighty that all these jivas, they go into the spiritual world and they fly through all 8,400,000 species down to the very bottom. Just imagine what kind of power Lord Shiva has. And they enter into the stone. Stone, actually some stones are also alive. Because the symptom of life is growth. And certain stones, of course, most of the stones are dead. But there are lively stones. And these are actually gemstones. Because gemstones, they grow very slowly, but still they grow. Why? Because they have jiva inside. And who is the jiva? That's impersonalist, who is sitting there. And, you know, this jiva is perfect. Doesn't have any contamination of the ordinary jiva. The only contamination of that jiva was that he wanted to merge with the Supreme Lord. And because that's very high consciousness, high level jiva sitting there, that's why the gemstones become so attractive. So if anyone wears those gemstones, you're actually wearing those in person with some people. Which is still right. But yeah, this is the example which helps us to understand that without Lord Shiva's blessings, we can never enter into the spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that it is the same for all the devotees, which is very interesting. He's quoting here the words of Prahlad Maharaj, unless one accepts the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotee, who is free from all material contamination, one cannot enter into the devotional service of the Lord. So because you accept mercy from any pure devotee, and it's going to be the same. It's very interesting. Like Srila Prabhupada says, pure devotee is guru, naturally, right? Because he represents the Lord, and guru is one. How guru can be one if we have so many gurus, right? But he explains that guru is one because every guru is passing the same message. And he says it's the same way like doctor is the same, because every doctor is following the same medical science. Or you take any profession, like I spoke with one devotee yesterday, and he's a chartered accountant, and he moved from India to Australia. And then he was working as chartered accountant there, he's been working as chartered accountant here. And because I know that sometimes it's quite hard to confirm the qualification when you move from one country to the other because standards are different. But he said, for chartered accountancy, they have global standards, and it's very easy to confirm those standards because it's based on calculation and mathematics. It's all the same all over the world. 2 + 2 equals to 4, whether it is Australia, US, India, or even Russia. Even in Russia, 2 + 2 still equals to 4. There is one Russian joke that many of his countries almost as corrupt as India. They joke that certain laws are followed in Russia very strictly. Historically, no one broke one category of laws, and these are the laws of physics. We can understand what are the laws of physics and the laws of Krishna. Right? Because Krishna created the laws of physics. And so the laws of God no one can break. And so, and this is Dharma. Dharma, so Prabhupada explains, means divine laws, laws of God. It's not, it has nothing to do with religion. Sometimes the word Dharma is translated as religion. But religion is something which is man-made, right? Certain rituals, certain understanding, tradition. But Sanatana Dharma has nothing to do with religions. Sanatana Dharma refers to the eternal laws of the Supreme Lord, and these laws are the same. Like Prabhupada was saying, what Bhagavad Gita has to do with different religions. The soul is passing from one body to the other, from young body to the from body of a child to the young body to the middle aged body, and then to the elderly man's body, and then to the next body at the time of death. So what that has to do with religion? Doesn't mean that if you don't believe in God, you don't go through those changes. You don't die. You don't take birth. So these are standard. You don't grow old. Probably that will happen. Everyone will become an atheist, right? No, but it's the same. These laws are the same for everyone. And so, pure devotee is the one who helps us to understand what are the laws of God and how to follow them. And of course there are only 2 options in terms of the laws. One is to follow the laws, and the other one is to break the laws. Right? You either follow or break the laws. And so if you follow the laws, you get the benefit. If you break the laws, you get in trouble. And so the main laws, the most important laws for us, are the laws of God. And so the better we follow the laws of God, the more benefit we get. And that's why we were discussing, I mean, that came few verses before, where Bhakti Prabhu was giving class on text 74, the verses before the one we are reading today. Anybody of Lord Krishna, whose mind is always absorbed in Him, who with great attention and reverence chants this sutra prayer, will achieve the greatest perfection of life without delay. So, and yesterday we were also mentioned that because devotees are following the laws of God, they worship Krishna, they serve Krishna. There are many benefits. Devotees gain. And we kind of recommended this very powerful exercise, which is called Count Your Blessings. But just think of what has changed for you for better since the time you started chanting Hare Krishna. Right? And if you think about it, it's like so many things. Right? You gain so many good things, starting with the Devotee Association, wonderful prasadam, wonderful life of singing, dancing, and wonderful knowledge, purpose of life, and you name it. I mean, and got free of so many troubles, like bad association, etc., etc., etc. And bad habits also. And so, it's very interesting to see that when devotees do this exercise, the longer the devotee practices, the longer is the distance. I did that at least for myself, and I came to 108 points, 109 blessings I've gained since I started chanting Hare Krishna. And then I realized that this is not exhaustive list. I can still carry on, but I think I'd like the number. So I stopped at 108. And so, yes, we're gaining so much because we follow Dhamma, we follow Krishna's laws. And it's such a nice life of Krishna consciousness, and therefore we want everyone to live this kind of life. Right? We want everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness. But there is a danger. And actually, Lord Shiva is explaining that it's not very easy to become Krishna conscious. And what is the difficulty? Like, we have this book, why should I give it to you? But we used to ask, what is the difficulty? And we know there are difficulties. Certain points which are the difficulties which prevent us from becoming Krishna conscious. What are the difficulties? No difficulties? Yes. Bad association. Yeah. Why bad association? Yeah. The what association?
Previous impressions?
Yes. Material desires. Yeah. Okay. Any other difficulties? Mind. Yes. Materialistic mind. saying they don't deserve it, right? If you sum up all the difficulties, it will come to that, right? And they don't deserve it. So material desires stand in the way. And, of course, now is the question how to get rid of material desires. Because material desires is something which makes us very anxious and very disturbed in mind. Even though there are no, externally, there are no reasons to be anxious or disturbed, right? You have very nice prasada, you are singing, you are dancing, you are in the company of the best people on earth, and Krishna is looking after you. What else do you want? But then the mind says, no, I want more, I want other things, right? I want to go and poison myself, for example. Right? This is what intoxicants means. Let me know I poison myself. Why do you want to poison me? Are you crazy? But this is what everybody does. Of course. Because there are so many people. This world is actually meant for crazy people. Prabhupada says it's a big mental asylum. This world will be the world. And some people are trying to, you know, go for the treatment. That's called bhakti. Bhakti yoga is the treatment process. And how do we get rid of material desires? Of course, we can try by our own strength, but it's all happening by the mercy of the pure devotees. And when we get the mercy of the devotees, of the pure devotees, we feel happy because we become free from those anxieties and the pressure of material desires. And now, of course, how do we get the mercy of pure devotees? And it's very interesting, it's mentioned. Unless one accepts the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotee, which is free from all material contamination, one cannot enter into the devotional service of the Lord. So for us it's very clear that Śrīla Prabhupāda is the classical pure devotee. Never done any sinful activity throughout his entire lifespan. One time he was very sick and there was a danger that he would die. And the doctor came and he said, the only cure for this disease is chicken broth. And God one day, Prabhupada's father said, my Vaishnavas, we don't do these things, so we don't take that. And the doctor said, either you give your boy, your son, chicken broth, or he will die. You choose. And then, of course, for a moment, I said, okay, what can we do? Right? But we cannot cook this. So the doctor said, okay, I will cook at home, I will drink, I will eat. So for a moment, I said, okay, naturally. He didn't want a boy to die. And then the doctor brought chicken broth and gave it to him as a medicine. And he spat it out. And he flatly refused to take it, even though he was a very small boy. And he didn't take it, and still he got cured. And so this was the only instance in his life where he was pushed to do something against the principles of bhakti, and even then he flatly refused despite of being very, very small boy. So Prabhupada said, I never done any sinful activity throughout my entire life. Can any of us claim that? And second thing, Srila Prabhupada said, I never forgot Radha and Krishna. My whole life, I always remember Radha and Krishna. I think for us, we can count not only minutes, but seconds in a day when we do remember Krishna, right? And we are forgetful of Krishna all the rest of the time. But for Prabhupada, he said, there was not even a second in my life when I will forget Radha and Krishna. That means even, you know, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, he remembers Krishna. And so, and of course, it was not just, you know, declaration, but Prabhupada showed an immense power by converting the entire Western world, giving Christian consciousness, even though Christian consciousness at the time was totally against everything Western world believed. And Prabhupada single-handedly managed to stop this tide of sinful activities and to reverse the flow of history. Unbelievable globally. And so, for us, there is no doubt that Srila Prabhupada is really working. So, how do we get the dust of his feet? Of course, sometimes devotees are fortunate enough, they have like Prabhupada's shoes, and they can get some dust from there. I have a piece of carpet from Bhaktivedanta Manor, so Prabhupada was walking on, so that also has some dust from his feet. So we can get dust from Prabhupada's feet in this way. But is this the only way how to get the dust of Prabhupada's feet? How to accept the dust of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. So what is the other and deeper meaning of the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee? Is there any other meaning of the dust?
Follow the instructions.
Yes. That's there. Any other meaning?
That is mercy.
Yeah. Follow the instructions, we need to follow the feet. Reading these books. Okay, I will help you to understand that. We talk about the dust of Krishna's feet. There is a prayer that I know that the Nuja Kinkar, Pratitana Mahamishan, Kripa Rekara Vada Pankaja, Stita Dhuli, Sadhvijan Vijinde, Osama Maharaj Nanda Krishna. Somehow or other, I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please, kindly pick me up from this ocean and make me the speck of dust and the lotus feet. So, what does it mean, the dust of Krishna's lotus feet? What the dust of Krishna's lotus feet consists of? Yes, Krishna's devotees. And now, and you can see, like if you look at the altar, whom do you see at Krishna's feet? Okay, that, of course, that's very clear if you look at Lord Buddha is over, who is at the feet of Guru Vidya. Parampara, right? So, pure Vaishnavas are always at the feet of the Lord. And so, taking the same analogy further, who is at the feet of pure devotees? Who is at the feet of pure devotees? Yes, other devotees, right? They have always their disciples. So we can understand that accepting the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotees means to serve all devotees. And that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says a very important thing. There is a song which is in the Sharanagati prayers, and it says, Shuddha Vakata Charanare Vajana Anupuya Vakata Seva Paramasiti Premati Karatuva. So it says that the dust of the feet of pure devotee, Shuddha Bhakta, is making your worship of the Lord Bhajan Anukul very auspicious. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Bhakata Seva, serving the devotees, Paramasiddhi, gives one topmost perfection and prema latikaran mula. It is the very root of prema lata, of the river of love of Krishna. So if you want to water the roots of prema lata or bhakti lata, what do you do? Serve Vaishnavas. And you can see how it works. How many of you have experience? When you serve Vaishnavas, you felt very, very happy, and you never felt anxious, and you never felt, noticed any material desires at all. Anyone have this experience? Yeah. Actually, this is the greatest source of ecstasy. If you serve the devotees, right? All the devotees. Because if you try to serve pure devotee only, right? And there are people like that, unfortunately, in our society also, who say that I will be serving only pure devotee. And all other devotees, they are not pure enough, because I am such a great devotee myself, right? Only pure devotees are deserving my service. And other devotees, unfortunately, this is how they think. And other devotees, they are below my dignity level. Right? But what kind of mentality is this? It is pride, right? And pride is the first and foremost demonic quality. If you look at chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita, what is the first quality of the people mentioned there? Dhamma. What is Dhamma? Pride. And what is the first quality of a devotee? Humility. So, very simple. If I develop pride, even pride of my bhakti, my devotion, whatever, it's really demonic quality. And if I develop humility, and how do I develop humility? By understanding what's my position. There is one powerful prayer by Britrasura, who was a demon, but he only had the morning body, but his consciousness was pure Christian consciousness. And that's of course coming a little later in the sixth canto, but Kritasura says, Aham haritava parayakamam dasarodana sarvavidha sarvavidha manasana sarvavidha namaste yudhishma paramaparavutaya. He says, O my dear Lord, when will I finally attain the shelter of your lotus feet? And dasa anudasa parvidasmikuya, when will I finally become the servant of your servant? And the same thing Lord Chaitanya says also, right? Here, Gopi Bhakta Upadita Malaya, Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. I am the most insignificant servant of all the servants of the Supreme Lord. So servant of the servant of the servant, that's actually the position of perfection in Bhakti. That's why at one point I thought that the lower you go, the higher you get in mind. And so if we just meditate on this one point, the lower you go, the higher we get, then you know it's like unobstructed advancement in Krishna consciousness, direct guarantee 100%. Like the lowest point, you just take down the last rate. And then from that you get the highest attainment. And so, yes, it is very important to become a servant of the servant of the servants of the Lord, because this is the highest perfection in devotional service. And then from there, Prithrasura says, Manasmarat, then my mind would be actually able to think of your wonderful qualities and bringing the bar that my speech would be used in glorifying you and karma kadolipaya, that I will be able to engage my activities in your service. So that's the way how to engage body, mind and words in Krishna consciousness, by the mercy of the devotees we serve. And it's very powerful, because the more devotees we serve, the more blessings we get for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So many times devotees like to have competitions, right? Who will learn most of the shlokas? Who will chant more rounds, for example, for some special Kadashi, right? Sometimes devotees do competition. Who will chant more rounds? I also done these competitions.
Who will eat more gulab jamuns? Who will eat more gulab jamuns?
Yeah, eat more gulab jamuns, distribute more books. So many competitions devotees have, but I think the greatest competition is that who will be able to serve and make most of the devotees happy in Krishna consciousness. How many of you would like to take part in this competition? Okay. And yeah, this is the way to achieve full perfection in Krishna consciousness. Alright. So anyone has any questions, comments, complaints, suggestions?
Same, and they are devotees. there are some more expert in different fields, so especially they're more expert in dealing with the disciple. So that the quality you're talking about, the quality of all gurus is good. You mentioned a point. But you see there are many differences.
Yeah, of course, there are differences. Like medical science is the same, but there are different doctors, right? There are just beginners. Like, there is one joke that surgeon comes to the patient before the operation and he says, "So how do you feel?" And patient says, "I'm very nervous." And the surgeon says, "Why are you nervous?" And he says, "Well, this is my first surgery in life." And doctor says, "There is no reason to be nervous because this is also my first surgery and I'm very calm and peaceful." So you should take my example. So we can understand that doctors are also on different levels, even though medical science is the same, but some are very expert and some are not very expert, and that's why there are so many jokes about doctors. Right? One joke is that it's Russian jokes, so Russian jokes tend to be very dark. So they say that the housewives, they cover their mistakes with salad dressing. The architects, they cover their mistakes with bodies on the walls. And doctors, they cover their mistakes with earth. So there are different doctors. Even though medical science is one, but it also depends, you know, how well one studied and how expert one is. And so that's why you have different spiritual guides, also different modes of representatives. And that's why we have to make sure that we have the right one. We get treatment from the right doctor. And of course, for us it's very easy, right? Because we have a perfect doctor, Srila Prabhupada. And so whoever sees purely represented Srila Prabhupada for us. Actually, this is the qualification of guru, transparency, right? That the more pure the devotee is, the greater is his transparency level. And transparency means that he is not trying to get between you and Krishna, but he is trying to connect you to Krishna. Because Prabhupada was like that. I mean, he had numerous qualifications, but his greatest qualification, which actually allowed him to exhibit so much power, is his total transparency. Yes?
Imagine you have a lot of services with either outreach or prasadam distribution, and in that, or doing all that service, you don't get to serve the devotees as much as you like. So, then how do you? Because we have to work on the serve other devotees right after the work on the rest. How do we?
Yeah, whenever we have opportunity, we should try to do something for the devotee, whatever we can. Either give them some prasadam or. Especially three things are recommended in Upanishamrita, mental instruction, Dadati Pratipinati, Bhutyama Kyati Pichati, Bhutyama Kyati Chayakvashati, Trikilakshana Shidati. Giving some gift you know, devotees might need something. And so, if you see that again, devotees need something, so I can help them, take the opportunity, give the gift to the devotee, and we cannot get the riches. Yeah, I think this is what's really lacking. We cannot get the riches, that listening to something in confidence. And devotees do have many problems, but you know, they can share their problems only if they know he could stay confidential. If they have doubts, and unfortunately there are many unscrupulous people. If you guys have devotees, they cannot even like say that they are real devotees. Maybe they're trying to become devotees, but this is such a bad, almost demonic quality that if someone shared something confidentially and then he publicized it all over the internet, and this is so horrible. And so the worst thing about it, it destroys trust between the devotees, and you know, devotees become suspicious of each other and they close up. And they never reveal their heart to anyone. And so, and if you don't open yourself up to the devotees, then the same, whether doubts or difficulties, can destroy your bhakti. That's a very unfortunate thing. And, yeah, therefore, it's, you know, it's like, one professional lady anthropologist, she spent a lot of time studying one of our communities, and she said there are so many problems, really acute problems in the community. And the first and foremost problem she named was gossip. She said the level of gossip in the community is so high. She never in her life saw this kind of thing. You know, she studied different communities, and she said in the Hare Krishna community, the level of gossip is just through the roof. And what is gossip? Talking ill about someone behind their back. That's gossip. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, of all types of prajalpa, this is the worst. The whole destructive type of prajapa. So, yeah, I think it's really lacking in our society. And of course, Mukta Bhagavata Chaiva, that's very popular. Giving prasadam, taking prasadam, that's. In this, we practically achieve perfection. But in other two types of services to the devotees, we really need to work on it.
In many churches, they have confession booth. Should we start a confession booth?
Well, definitely we should train devotees in confidentiality. Like when I took the professional mediation training, it was done by the devotees, but it was based on Harvard Institute course. And this was practically the first and foremost thing, like was drawn in our head, that whoever tells you about anything, never ever tell anyone without their explicit permission, with the exception of very few things, like, you know, someone is threatening someone's life and planning to kill someone or something, you know, you might, you know, kind of say, okay, sorry, I cannot keep that confidential. But never ever, you know, betray anyone who trusts you. And unfortunately, there are very few, very, you know, many devotees who have this understanding and who take it very cheaply. preach these things. So this is very relevant. So yes.
How is it that the lawyers keep the confidentiality? The customer comes to me and says, "I killed this man, they'll get me out of the jail." How do the lawyers keep the confidentiality at that high level?
Well, there are certain, I'm not familiar with the lawyers on that, but there are certainly some limits in their work. They cannot keep certain things, they cannot keep confidential, but they warn the client that these, by law, I cannot keep that confidential. I'll have to agree with them. They're still, you know, like open, you know, supposed to. Yes.
Maharaj, at this point you're saying, no matter what happens, do not share with someone, but it will be hard for you. So suppose there is a situation where one of your kids is going through some tough time, or he is going through some habit which is not helping him with Krishna consciousness, and he shares with his friends of devotee. So now the friend devotee is not able to help him. So, if he seeks guidance from another senior devotee who is not going to go with self-help, but who is going to be of some help, still he should just keep it secret, or get something coming from a point of, if someone is going through a tough time and they reveal their heart to one person, another devotee friend, but that devotee friend may not be able to help him, he still keeps it secret, or stick to his principle, or how do you work?
It works in such a way that if someone tells you about the difficulty, you can try to help, but if you cannot, then you can say, okay, I cannot help you here, but I think, you know, somebody else could help you, so I want to tell you that the way is okay with you. So always ask people's permission before disclosing confidential information to anyone. And if you do that without their permission, you destroy your relationship right on the spot, and you destroy their Krishna consciousness, and you destroy your Krishna consciousness also. And that's really important to be mindful of.
Maharaj, can you please explain more that point that we go more down in bhakti, the more we spiritually elevate?
The more we go, you know, the lower we go, the higher we get.
Yes.
The lower we go means we serve more devotees. And so we, by serving more devotees, we get, we collect all their blessings, and we go further in our devotional service. Yes.
I was just wondering with the God Brothers and God Sisters of Prabhupada.
Little
moment. Like with the God Brothers and God Sisters of Prabhupada, like the last orders of Prabhupada, India, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami, like so, not have a leader, but like you should just cooperate, right? Because we worship that, but like we were not able to like respect those last orders. So like I don't know if it was disobedience or like the attempt and the conscious failure, but does that make like the other brothers, like the other spiritual masters, like bona fide or not anymore?
Well, I mean, it depends on circumstances. Because, say, hypothetically, we have 100 disciples. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati have much more than that. He actually has 50,000 or 60,000. So he had 60,000 disciples. But take the smallest thing, 100. Right? And so all 100 go the instructions that you work together, and together you manage the entire organization. So now, a again, hypothetically, one wants to work with others, and 99, they don't want to work with anyone. So would that one be able to work with them? No. You know, even though he tries, but they're not interested. So what can he do? And this is exactly what happened to Prabhupada. He wanted to work with everyone, because that was the instruction of his Guru Maharaj. But his godbrothers were not interested. So he tried so hard, but then he realized, okay, there is no interest. So I will have to go on my own. So we have to be separate. He had to go separate because, not because he didn't try to work with them, but because they were not interested. And so, yes, he created his own. And his own is not a good demand. He did say, okay, it looks externally, it looks like Chopra, but also didn't follow the instructions of his dancers. But he tried his best. And he actually passed this move onto his disciples, and they tried, at least, you know, we have group of leaders who are managing and working together, so that doesn't make everyone not qualified. It depends on circumstances.
Yeah, I wasn't really talking about Prabhupada, but more about those who really want to do it their way without overriding those who really like Prabhupada much more.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying, that whether one is qualified or not depends on individual circumstances. So we can make a blanket statement, which is, you know, like one says we so. But this is the spiritual life, it's all individual. So it depends. Basically, the qualification of the guru is very simple. How nicely one follows the instruction of his spiritual master. So the best disciple is always the best devotee and automatically guru. And for Prabhupada, you know, we have no doubt that he fully dedicated. He dedicated his life to fulfilling the desires of what he's done specifically. Alright, last one.
Maharaj mentioned that in personalists who are towards, more towards, situated towards the spiritual side, they are able to see the pastimes of the life. But that's, you have to have the greatest of fortune to be able to see that, and they don't even desire it, they disregard the personal form of the Lord. So then how do they manage to see the pastimes of the Lord?
Well, we don't know the details, but apparently it is possible. That someone might be on very high level of spiritual perfection and almost get into the spiritual world, but then, you know, the sad thing that they, what happens, they fall again because they don't take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Okay, we said last one, but we'll make an exception for Krishna. Yes.
In the late temple, we see that that Shukracharya curses Bali when he is offering the incense to Vamadeva. But why does he need to curse him if he is just following the rule of Dharma? Because he had promised Vamadeva to that he will keep the land and now he is giving him what? Why does Shukracharya have to curse?
Yeah, why Shukracharya was cursing Bali Maharaj if he followed his Dharma? And plus he was serving the Lord. Yeah, Shukracharya was cursing him because his personal interests were threatened. Right? Because Shukracharya was getting his maintenance from Bali Maharaj, right? He was living off Bali Maharaj as well. And so, because if Bali Maharaj would fulfill the promise, he would lose everything, and automatically Shukracharya also this is why he was so angry and was cursing Bali Maharaj, because he was very much attached to his position and to his work. And so attachment leads to fear and anger. This is what Bhagavad Gita explains, and this is what's exemplified in this story. Yes? Hare Krishna, Nandarajan, Bhagavad Gita, Hare Krishna.